commencing countdown.
3, 2, 1.
This is The Contracting Experience.
Connecting government contracting professionals to the world around them through conversations with acquisition influencers, insights into evolving hot topics, and sharing lessons learned from the field.
Welcome, podcast listeners. On this episode of The Contracting Experience, we sit down with Ms. Andrea Edmonds from the 88th Force Support Squadron. Ms. Edmonds is a certified training instructor and recently taught several courses in support of Level Up Week here at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. One of Andrea's courses is entitled Generations in the Workplace, and we've invited her here to the podcast to tell us a little more about the course and what we all need to be aware of in order to optimize our workplace while recognizing the differences within our generationally diverse workforce. Hi, Andrea. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
No, excellent. Yeah, appreciate you joining us on this. Again, I find it a very interesting topic, generations in the workplace. I think our contracting workforce is definitely what we would call generationally diverse. So to start off, can you tell us a little bit about your course entitled Generations in the Workplace? How did it originate? And what are maybe some key takeaways that people can expect?
Well, this course originated sort of out of conversations that we had with other stakeholders on base about issues that they were having, courses that they would like us to develop. And one of the topics that came up was, you know, we're seeing a lot of, I don't want to say it's conflict, but definitely a lot of sort of grading relationships between, and I don't even know if that's the right term, but definitely some difficulties in some of our teams in terms of having, you know, Gen Z and baby boomers and Gen X and millennials all kind of with the expectation that they need to work together and not really knowing enough about one another to be able to do that in a, you know, in an effective manner. So the course itself, you know, I teach a 4-hour course, I teach a 3-hour course, and I teach a 1-hour course, kind of, there's also a 2-hour course. So kind of a range of things. And there's different levels I guess, engagement, where we get people up and moving and listening to music and talking and those kinds of things. But really, you know, the key takeaways are understanding each of the 4 generations, baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, kind of who they are, where they're coming from. And we call that where they're coming from. We call those the long-term effects, essentially. And those long-term effects are caused by defining events within each generation. So when we talk about, you know, the takeaway, it's really to get people to kind of stop and think about the generations and kind of what makes each generation tick. What things happened to, you know, their parents that affected them as they were growing up. And because each generation has essentially what's called a collective consciousness, these series of sort of this collectivism based on things that happen in the world, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, you kind of listed some of the different generations, and we'll dive into those here in a little bit. Yeah, but just as an example, right, Gen Z. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Probably our youngest generation in the workforce. But they grew up during a time of COVID. Right. Yeah. Government bailouts, everything else. So, yeah, that obviously influenced a lot of the things they bring into the workforce. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then kind of diving into the whole generational differences concept. Right. And the whole mm-hmm. interest of diversity, equity and inclusion, which is, you know, for really good reasons, have gotten a lot of focus over the last couple of years. But it seems like this generational difference might have gotten overlooked in that discussion.
Yeah, I would say it has. And I think it behooves all of us to really look at the generations and think about, you know, the things that made them make them unique. Like, for instance, you're talking about, you know, baby boomers, of course, get a lot of focus. They're leaving the workforce. So it's predominantly Gen X and millennials. And then you have Gen Z. And as you mentioned Gen Z already, you know, a lot of times there's sort of these stereotypes about Gen Z that, and I hear it every single class that I teach, that they quote unquote don't want to work. And it's not that at all. It's that they don't want to work for, you know, unfair wage. They don't want to work for somebody that they feel like doesn't respect them. They don't want to, you know, they want to feel like they're part of something bigger. So it's about understanding what it is that has made, especially Gen Z, that way. And by understanding that, it can really decrease some of that, the tension in those different generations. And the same goes for Gen X and for millennials, kind of understanding who they are. And for all the generations, you know, when you're looking at them and how they work together, or in some cases don't work together, it really, I think if you're a supervisor or a manager or in any kind of a role where you are leading, you know, there's something to be said for stopping and taking time to work on communication. To show, like, to literally say, this is how we communicate with one another. Because just if you're talking about communication, we all communicate with our cell phones. They're pretty much attached to our hands all the time. And if it's not on you, you're looking at your watch. And so we've sort of lost some of those communication skills, that face-to-face communication, that how to talk to people, how to listen to people. And so I always say when I'm teaching this class, you know, stop and just take the time on a training day to talk about how we communicate. And not only how we communicate, what are our communication preferences? How do you like to be communicated to? Do you want face-to-face? Because some millennials, some Gen Z, they don't want you walking up to them and all of a sudden talking to them. They want you to send them a text message. They want you to maybe send them a message on Teams. Don't just, you know, jump on them the second they get into their cubby. You know, sometimes they need a little space. And so you have to consider those communication preferences. And at the same time, I think it's a good idea for us to all kind of relearn how to listen. You know, the skills of active listening. Because if you spend all of your time, you know, staring at a cell phone and communicating only through that, you're losing some of those really important skills that we use every day in the workplace.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a great, great baseline. Just kind of communication. It's kind mm-hmm. of funny. I was dealing with a person of a younger generation a couple of years ago. We were IMing back and forth. And I said, yeah, I'm happy to chat about that anytime. And like, well, we are chatting, Rob. This is what we're, You're right. Let me, let's set some side along and we can talk face to face is what I was getting at.
Yeah.
But again, it's just a fascinating topic. Right. And yeah, we mentioned Gen Z. A few years ago, the millennials were getting all the attention,
right?
Everybody was so concerned about the millennials. And what some of our listeners might not realize is some of those millennials are turning 43, 44 this year, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, what happened? When did they grow up?
I'm technically, I guess, Gen X, but I'm a cusper. And a cusper is somebody who's sort of in between two generations. And I'm turning 45. So I had this weird moment where I was kind of like, oh my goodness, like some of the people that I'm working with were born obviously in 2000. I'm old. I'm from the 1900s, you know, like just think it seems so ridiculous, but like, oh my God, the 1900s. But yeah, I mean that they're definitely millennials are sort of falling. They're, you know, they are making up, they're the fastest growing percentage of the workforce right now. And they are actually always talk about how with this generation, they're the first generation that is better educated than the generation previous, which would be Gen X, but they also are economically worse off than the Gen X generation. And a lot of that is because of those the economic downturn in 2008, you know, this cycle of recession. And so they actually are really, that's something that generation, the millennial generation, has really struggled with is, you know, once they graduate high school, what do they do next? Well, they were taught in school, you know, you go to college. And when you're done with college, what's waiting on you? A job. Except there wasn't a job waiting on them. And so for many millennials, they found themselves not working in the career field where maybe their degree with the career field that their degree is in. They found themselves underemployed. This is the generation where many of them, you know, in their 20s moved back home with their parents because they couldn't afford to, you know, to buy a house, to rent, things like that. And that's something that they're still facing, just as Gen Z is facing that. And, you know, of course, Gen Alpha, which is still in school, you know, that's something that they're likely to face as well.
Right. No. Yeah. Great recap there. So yeah, we've kind of not picked on, but we've addressed some of the differences with Gen Z and the millennials. Right. And then I was going to ask you, you mentioned being on the cusp, and that's something I was going to ask, right? Cause I think it's always dangerous when we try to put people in buckets and give them a label. Yeah. Right. So like my situation, I'm technically by the numbers, I'm a Gen Xer, but my brothers and sisters were all significantly older than me by about 10 years. Mm-hmm. So I think I was raised as more of a baby boomer. Right. So I just think I associate more with the boomer generation. Right. So again, I just for the listeners there, I think there is such a thing as a cusp or, you know, maybe a phased approach.
Yeah.
So just to throw it out there, it gets a little bit dangerous when you're just trying to label people in buckets based on the year they were born. But as you say, a lot of things shaped based on the year they were born, based on their formative years, if you will, the things that happened in society and the things that happened in culture certainly influence the generation, right?
Right. And if you think just about baby boomers, because you mentioned those, you know, they're being raised. So baby boomers are generally between 1946 and 1964. But their parents were the silent generation. You know, their parents were the ones who lived through their formative years were the Great Depression. And then World War II happened and they went off and they fought a war and they came back and they settled down and they got married and had kids. And so for that generation, they're really they're being raised by parents who have these, you know, work hard, do your duty, you know, don't complain, just do what you got to do and move on. And so that really kind of shapes who baby boomers become, especially in terms of some of the characteristics, which would be like, for instance, the general characteristics. And you're right to say you can't just lump everybody from one generation. It's definitely fluid. And we are making generalizations, and generalizations don't apply to everyone. But, you know, baby boomers are materialistic and they're hardworking and they, you know, they work 9 to 5 and then some. You know, baby boomers tended to be very loyal to their careers, to their bosses. You know, they might stay somewhere and work for 30 years. And whereas you look at the contrast maybe with millennials and Gen Z, that's not necessarily the case. They might change, you know, employers every couple of years because they're looking for something. They're looking for whether it be more salary or meaning or benefits or what have you.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, spot on. Again, this is awesome. Yeah. And speaking of the baby boomer generation, right, they had the loyalty to the company. But at some point, that company loyalty doesn't seem to be reciprocated, right? Years of layoffs and people were losing their jobs. And I think that's maybe what the millennials sort of witnessed as they were coming of age. They, wait a minute, my parents dedicated, you know, 20, 25 years to this company. And now due to some massive reorg, they're out on the street. Wait, I don't think I want to buy into that plan.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And it's that same idea. You know, baby boomers were, you know, they were working, you know, the kids were being raised by mom at home. And so that's just the general stereotype. Of course, it's not true for everyone. But, you know, you think about Gen X, and Gen X is the latchkey generation. You know, they get home from school, they get off the bus, they get themselves a snack. You know, they're being raised by parents who are probably working. You know, this generation, as they grow up, they're growing up during a time where there's more dual income families, there's more divorced families, there's more single parent households. You know, Gen X is that they were outside playing until the streetlights came on, you know, or and if they were thirsty, they got a drink from the hose. You know, you kind of hear those things kind of bandied about. So, you know, they became very, very independent, very resourceful, very hands off. And that, I mean, you think about taking those skills and those characteristics and then the workforce, you know, they don't want to be overmanaged. They're independent. You know, they tend to be pretty resourceful. I'll figure it out for myself. But they also looked at their parents and how much their parents were working. And Gen X really wants, they really value a work-life balance. You know, that, okay, it's 5, I'm done.
Yeah, it's just a different mindset. Mm-hmm. Right. Back, you know, in the workforce, it was like, hey, we're all going to get together after work and go out for drinks or dinner. Folks don't want to do that anymore. No. Right. It's, hey, I'm on my time. I want to do my things.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so those teamwork events, we usually need to build those around the duty day, if you will.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's just changed in my lifetime. When I first started, I neglected to say it, but I'm coming from 22 years in public education. So I started teaching in 2001. And I remember, you know, we would go out and have drinks after work and we would socialize together. And over the course of my career, we stopped doing that. That's not something that is really popularized. People don't want to do that. They want to go home. They want to unplug. They want to sit on their porch. They don't want to go somewhere. That's not something that they value.
Those work bowling leagues tend to have dried up a little bit.
Definitely.
That's what I've noticed. But yeah, that's, again, going back to my experience, my father, right? He had the work bowling league every night, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. But nowadays I see enough of those folks during the day. I want to have my time after work.
So, and if you do continue, like from my perspective, like we have a group chat. The people that I'm really tight with at work, we go out for drinks every once in a while, but we don't need to go hang out with each other after work. If we want to talk, we just have a group chat and we just sit there and, you know, post videos and stuff like that. And, you know, just talk, but we don't need because our communication styles have changed as our technology has changed.
Yeah. And again, that's another great segue that I wanted to bring up, the whole method of communication. Right. Oh, yeah. So not that long ago, it seemed like we had this whole recall roster. Right. Uh-huh. And somebody would put it together in Excel and they would print it out and everybody would get one, you know, kind of folded up because it had privacy information on it and put on the desk. And our office assistant even reduced it down to like a business card size and laminated it for us. So this happened, you know, every time somebody came or left the organization. So I don't know if it's a generational push or just technology but somewhere the light came on and say, well, why don't we just take a picture of it with our phone? And then instead of I call you and you call him and he calls her, how about a group chat? And then we all just, you know, seem like that's just a much more efficient way to operate.
Yeah.
So I think some of these trends that maybe the millennial or the Gen Z generation are kind of adopting are actually affecting the other generations as well in a good way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and when you're working on a team and you have people who are very technologically savvy, they've got great ideas. They've used things, you know, they know about the latest apps and things like that. But yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree that having a group chat for accountability is way more effective than, you know, having a card that you carry, because people don't even necessarily carry wallets anymore. You know, they've got something stuck to the back of their cell phone and they have a couple cards in there and that's it. So, I mean, it makes a lot more sense when you've got this cell phone that's pretty much, you know, attached by Velcro to your hand. You know, you can just haul that thing out and just, okay, I'm good. You know, I'm here. We're safe. Versus let me get on a phone and let me call. Because especially, I mean, I'm Gen X / millennials and I hate the phone. I don't want to call somebody, but I'm fine texting them. I'm fine doing that. And so you've got sort of, and whether that's technology or that's just my hang up, who knows? But it's easier to just send that text or what have you. And you can multitask.
Yeah. And that kind of ties into maybe a misperception, if you will, right? Not a lot of the younger generation carry notepads and pens into meetings, right? No. A lot of time, all they need is their phone.
Yeah.
But then when people see them on their phone all the time, they just assume it's a personal thing, or they're playing a game, or they're on social media.
Right.
You know, maybe they're actually taking notes during your meeting.
Yeah.
Right. What? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Are there any other misperceptions you can think of on the different generations? Again, it's just interesting, right? You know, the older generation can pick on the younger generation. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys don't know how to drive a stick shift or write cursive anymore. Well, okay, but who are you going to call when your modem doesn't connect? Yeah. Right? You're probably going to call somebody from that younger generation. So I think we all have our strengths, right? Yeah. It's just a matter of using them together most optimally. So what are some other misperceptions that you hear on these generational differences?
Well, I think that it's with Gen Z, because Gen Z likes to think that they're very, very tech savvy, you know, that they know how to use all of these technologies, and they don't, that's not always the case. Like they say, oh yeah, I've used Excel, but do they really know how to use Excel? You know, they know of things, like it's almost they have this personal, or they have this sense that they're very competent, but they sometimes aren't. You know, they, yeah, sure, they used Word in school, but they, do they really know how to use it? In fact, they probably didn't use Word. They probably used Google. They probably used Google Docs and that, because that's more prevalent in school. But, you know, do they really, do they, are they really fluent in these technologies? Because that's one of the things that we've sort of realized in teaching this class, is that a lot of times, you know, Gen Z workers are hired and they're like, oh yeah, I know Excel, I know PowerPoint, you know, I know how to do all of these things. But in reality, they really don't. They need some assistance.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, they might be familiar with the app. They might have it downloaded on their phone. And I've heard that as well, right? A lot of folks think the younger generations are, you know, they know more technology. Well, they might not know how it works any more than the rest of us do, but they certainly know how vital it is.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And I think you can't just say, you know, you have to be really careful. Like, so you do have the person that's in your team and they're on their phone and they're, you know, their thumbs are, you know, moving at the, you know, speed of light, because they're, whatever they're doing, I think as a supervisor, as a manager, you have to trust that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. You can ask them, hey, are you taking notes? And sure, okay. But, you know, especially with Gen Z, you have to be careful, because Gen Z doesn't necessarily just respect your authority just because you're in a position of authority. Gen Z is all about, you know, if they feel respected, they're going to respect you. And when they feel disrespected, that ruins that relationship. And sometimes it's not salvageable. And it really has to, it really calls on people to work at that and to make sure that they, I mean, if you've got someone who, you know, maybe gets up, I'm speaking a lot of here, both of a conversation I had earlier this week during a training with a staff sergeant, but I'm also talking about thinking about my own classroom experiences. Like you, when a Gen Z person feels like they've been disrespected, the way to get that back is to say, hey, you know what? I did something I shouldn't have, or I said something I shouldn't have, or I accused you of playing games on your phone when you were really taking notes, and that's not okay. And I'm really sorry that I did that. And, you know, you have to make yourself vulnerable, and you have to like really own up to the things, maybe a mistake that you've made. And that's how you recoup that. And that's hard. You know, nobody likes to be put in that position where you're apologizing, or you're saying, you're admitting that you did something wrong, or that you were in error, or that, you know, it can be really challenging.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not to say that other generations don't feel the same way. I'm not just talking about Gen Z. I just know that in teaching this class, that is where so much of the focus seems to be coming, or the focus seems to be on, is really this Gen Z, millennial, and Gen X sort of, you know, conflict that kind of goes on, and how to juggle that and how to respond to that and how to, you know, make it a successful working relationship.
Right. No, and I think that's spot on. And again, that the whole mutual respect, it seems kind of obvious, right? But I think at some point, some of the older generation, we I don't know, again, it was the way the older generations might have been raised in the workplace, right? Back when we had the metal desks and, you know, ashtrays.
Yeah.
And you could talk to somebody in a very discouraging manner because you were the boss. And that doesn't work anymore.
No, it does
right?
not.
Your attrition rates and your retention are certainly going to reflect that, right? There's so many opportunities, you know, especially in the government, right? Getting back to our contracting workforce. Mm-hmm. There are just so many opportunities out there.
Yep.
People aren't going to waste their time working for a boss or an organization that doesn't respect them. So I don't think that's limited to just the Gen Z, but that might be the generation that needs to put that, you know, at the forefront. Maybe that's long overdue that we realize that.
Yeah. And that's kind of goes back to that. I think in any organization, we really need to kind of step back and reassess the kind of communication, the kind of listening. And I always say, it sounds kind of stupid, but I remember in the classroom, and I taught high schoolers, many of whom are graduating and going into the military, going to college, those kinds of things. They're already there. And so teaching people how to talk to each other, it sounds like a big, you know, well, duh, you just talk to each other, but that doesn't mean that people know how to do it. If you spend all your time talking through a phone, you forgot how to respond. You forgot how to wait, to give people wait time. You forgot how to, you know, acknowledge that you're listening. I mean, you can hear, but that doesn't mean that you're listening. And so I think we really have to be very conscious and very deliberate in the things that we do on teams and the things that we do in our organizations to teach people how to be an active listener, to teach them how to communicate, how to show that they're listening to someone else, how to make eye contact. Like that's, if you've ever talked to someone who is a millennial or Gen Z and you've talked to them face to face, you're not always getting eye contact. That's something that they just, and Gen Alpha, the generation that's still in school, you know, they spent 2 years just looking at a camera on a computer. You know, they're getting ready to begin moving into the workforce. That is going to require all of us to really consider their needs, you know, the challenges that they may face, and how we're going to modify what we do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's kind of the repeating theme is just being aware from where each of us come from, right? The backgrounds and the things that influenced us during our quote, formative years.
Yes.
But it's not an excuse either, right? Oh, that's the way I was raised, so that's how I am, and I'm not going to, well, that's, you're selling yourself short, right? Adapt to the times, you know, we can all become better people if we're more aware. And again, you know, where each of us are coming from and how to develop the strengths from each of the generations.
We need to make sure we focus on the similarities as well, because it doesn't matter what generation you're from. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what, you know, language you were born speaking. It doesn't matter. We all are humans and we all have these things in common. And instead of focusing on differences, we need to focus on those similarities.
Right. Yeah. And that's the key, right? The whole, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, generational differences. Yeah, absolutely. Let's focus on, you know, what we have in common and develop the strengths with our differences.
Yeah.
So, but getting back, so generational differences, really not anything new.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure every generation has kind of had concerns over the generations coming behind them. Right. I grew up in the 80s. I'm sure my parents had very much concern with the music and the long hair and where guys started wearing earrings. And, you know, they were probably just absolutely freaking out. The generation before that, you know, Elvis. Right.
Yeah.
That where is the world? What is the world coming to? Things like that. So it's really not anything new. It's just a matter of embracing what the next generation is bringing forward.
Right. It's nothing new, but also remember technology and communication has radically changed. So we're even more aware of it than we've ever been.
Right. Yeah. That's a great point. That's a great point. And again, social media, a big thing that has probably been, you know, influenced by the younger generations. And again, I think it's for a good thing. And we've all adapted on those trends, right? We have the Air Force contracting Facebook group now, right? That wasn't a thing years ago. How the younger generations prefer to be trained. And in some ways, it's way more efficient than we've ever done it, right? Yeah. They like the 5-minute YouTube videos that just get to the point.
Yep.
Tell me what I need to know in 5 minutes or less. Okay. And again, previous generations, well, here's a big book, read it and tell me what you know about risk management, right? Again, there's better ways of training. And I think the younger generations are pushing us in that direction for goodness, right? I think we're all operating a little bit more efficiently. And again, there are some struggles. You mentioned the face-to-face communication, but again, I do think we're capitalizing on what the younger generations are bringing to the workforce. And us boomers, you know, we're, you know, part of what you said earlier, we're kind of set in our standards and we like the way things have always been, but we're coming around. We're starting to evolve a little bit more.
And I think it's a good idea to really focus on. We've focused a lot here with Gen Z, but baby boomers have so many valuable skills and they're going to eventually be in the next few years leaving the workforce. So I think in every organization, there needs to be a concerted effort to really harvest that knowledge that baby boomers have and, you know, and learn from it. You know, the networking, the communication, the things that the projects that they've engaged in, the work that they've done, the research they've done, because once they retire, that's gone and it's lost.
Right. Absolutely. And that kind of ties, we can't have a podcast without mentioning the hot topic of telework.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's one that, you know, Gen Z, they're, you know, the older part of Gen Z. They're in their mid-20s now. Telework was how they entered the workforce.
Yeah.
A lot of them, right? So that's kind of what they're used to. Okay, I we don't need that face-to-face interaction. This is right in my wheelhouse. I like the independence. I like communicating, you know, over media, kind of avoiding the social construct. But now that we're coming back into the office, at least some of us are you seeing a lot of struggles making that transition back to the office?
Yes and no. I mean, my office is pretty much strictly, most of us don't get to telework. I think for us, we would like to, because our job can be done just as well at home. I mean, a lot of our classes are virtual. You know, what's to say that I need to sit in an empty classroom and teach a class when I could be at home teaching a class, you know, just as well. But at the same time, you know, I know there's plenty of organizations where, you know, telework is if that's the first question you ask when you're being interviewed, you know, do you offer telework?
All right. Like, and now it's not even telework. It's can I work remotely?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Let's take it to the next phase. And again, there's reasons for that. And if, you know, I think kind of like anything else, right? If the more restrictions you're putting on the job, the more you're limiting, you know, that net or the potential applicant pool out there. So yeah, folks, they clearly like the telework. They clearly like the remote opportunities. So yeah, I think that's great. And that ties in with the younger generations.
Well, and furthermore, I mean, if you're living in if the job that you want is in an area that's extremely expensive, you know, DC, Seattle, wherever it might be, and you are, you know, you're concerned about, will I even be able to afford living, you know, to live there? Remote work is a great option because you can live somewhere that's less expensive, but work for that company that you really want to work for. And, you know, have that opportunity, but then actually still be able to, you know, provide for your family and provide for yourself when you're living in an area that's not as expensive. You know, I know for my part, I'm a military spouse. Remote work is something that I'm actively looking for because I'm not going to be able to stay in one place. I'm going to have to move. You know, I want to work, you know, I mean, and so for me, that becomes a really, really, really lucrative opportunity to be able to continue working at a company, to be able to move, regardless of where my husband is stationed.
Right. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. And it's just, you know, providing opportunities, but again, with that same mindset, folks have more opportunities. Mm-hmm. So even more reason why you need to respect them and take care of them, you know, if you want to keep them. Right. Yeah. There's just so many opportunities out there. So again, even more reason, you know, to just be socially conscious of the generational differences.
Yeah.
And, you know, just treat one another with respect is probably the key.
Yes.
And understanding we all bring different skill sets and different perceptions to the table. And again, that's goodness, right?
Yeah.
If everyone brings the same background, the same perceptions, then you're going to get groupthink, and that, you know, we know how that turns out.
Right, exactly. Absolutely.
No, so, yeah, I mean, we talk about communication and respect are probably the big ones. Any other magical advice on how to deal with teammates, supervisors, subordinates that come from different generations? I think the big key is communication and respect. But anything else that maybe we haven't dived on?
I think you really have to give people an outlet for people to voice their thoughts and their viewpoints and their suggestions. You know, you need to kind of have that time for people can engage with one another. They can just talk. You have to be more focused on quality versus quantity in terms of what is being done. I think you need to, when you are working together as a team, you need to have very clear, you know, I don't want to use the term norms, but very clear communication guidelines. You need to make sure you stay in communication with all of your employees. Make sure everybody's in the know, that somebody's not finding out after the fact, to be very clear in your communication, which again is something we talked about before. You need to find ways to incentivize things. You know, every generation responds to incentivization. Make sure people have time for personal and professional development. And again, encourage similarities, people to focus on those and not the differences.
Yeah, that's, and you hit on incentives, and that's, again, another topic that it's a phenomenal thing, all right? There is about over 100 different ways to motivate someone.
Yes.
Right? And we're all motivated in different ways. Sometimes the quarterly award is not the way that employee wants to be recognized.
Right.
Right? I don't want the attention. I don't want to help you write it. I would just as soon you say thank you and let me be on my way. But yeah, that's just something else to recognize. And part of that, you know, you don't want to lump that into generation. That's actually getting to know your folks, though.
Yes.
Right. Getting to know your people, getting to know your workforce on a personal level. Hey, you know, find out what makes people tick. And maybe it's not just lumping them in a generation, you know, where maybe they don't even associate with.
Right. Yeah. And that's that respect, that communication, getting to know people. You know, if you get to know people, they're going to feel respected. They're going to be more willing to work with you and work for you. And getting to know them, you know, making sure you understand what makes them unique. And if by getting to know them, you're going to know what their skill sets are and how you can best utilize those.
Right. Spot on. So one other workplace environment issue I wanted to bring up, not an issue, but an observation. Well, we'll call it a Robservation. As far as the dress code in the office,
right?
I think that we've kind of got more relaxed on that over the years. I'm trying to figure out what to do with these half dozen suits and these 50 ties in my closet that don't seem to get a lot of use anymore. And I'm not complaining about it. I think it's a good thing. But do you think, has that been influenced by the younger generations? Or do you think that's just kind of a byproduct of how society is going nowadays?
I think it's a byproduct of society. I mean, first of all, I mean, if you're dressing in suits and ties and heels and skirts can be, you know, financially draining. And if you're feeling like you're not being paid well, right, you know, you're not going to have the money to invest in something like that. And what's to say that if you're wearing jeans and a shirt, that you're not just as productive as you are when you are wearing a suit and a tie? So, I mean, in some respects that, but also, you know, if you're working at home and you're teleworking, you're going to be dressed down. You're going to be dressed how you're comfortable. And I think in my perspective, for my office, if we're teaching, we're going to be dressed up. If we're just sitting in our cubby all day and we're working, we're going to wear pants and a shirt. You know, we're going to wear some nice, comfortable shoes. We're not wearing sweats and a t-shirt. But we're going to be more comfortable. There's a time and a place for it. And I think that's where the sort of the flexibility needs to come is there's a time and a place. Okay, what are we doing today? What's on the agenda? Okay, we have an all call. Okay, well, we're going to be dressed up. You know, I have this meeting. Okay, that calls for this kind of attire. And maybe that's a conversation you need to have with your employees. When we can do something like this, this is what we need. When we do something like this, this is what we need. And, you know, that's just a part of that kind of giving them respect and flexibility and in terms of their attire. So I don't think flip-flops are necessarily the way to go. But, you know, a comfortable pair of Birkenstocks or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm wearing today. It's a Friday.
Yeah. And again, it's, you know, just kind of an observation, but kind of going back to that. Yeah. It's just, you know, communicating expectations.
Yes.
Right. You can certainly take it too far, but you know, it just seems odd every now and then we need that memo from the 4-star general to come out to remind people to dress professionally. Okay. Right. That's an indicator that, okay, somebody somewhere took it too far.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
let's dial it back. Business casual means business casual, casual, maybe reserved for sports day or something like that.
And I think, again, I mean, sometimes people need to see what you were talking about.
Exactly. You know,
they need to say, this is what this looks like. This is what this looks like. These things are okay. These things are not. And I don't think you should be afraid to have those conversations. I mean, people don't, if you don't tell people, they don't know. And they're just going to wear it until they get told, hey, that's not appropriate. So why not start it from be more proactive in your approach? You know, this is what we mean by it. So you're going to, you know, an all call or a director's call, a commander's call. This is what's appropriate. You have a meeting. This is what's appropriate. You know, you are, like I said, you're sitting in your, you know, your lab or you're working on something. You're sitting on the floor and working on something. You know, you're whatever it is that you're doing, you know, you dress for that. I think that that just is part of knowing your people and being proactive and having that communication in place.
Right. Absolutely. And again, that's not definitely not picking on the younger generations here.
No.
I mean, I know there are definitely some folks in my generation, the baby boomer generation, that have, you know, hey, this is what I've worn to work for the last 20 years and you never had a problem with it. So don't tell me you have a problem with it today.
Yep. Yep. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, Ms. Edmonds, Andrea, this has been enlightening. Again, great discussion. I'm sure we could go on for at least another hour or so, but in the interest of the podcast, we'll call it quits, but I might have you back for a follow-on session, depending on the feedback we get. Again, I think it's just an awesome topic. I mean, we're not behavioral scientists. We're just making observations, but certainly appreciate the skill set and the experience you brought to the conversation. So is there anything, any last parting shots for our listeners you might want to add in?
You know, if you're listening out there and you want more information or you want more information and you would like to attend a class or you want me to speak to your organization, feel free to reach out. Mr. Lorton can share my contact information with you. I can also provide some, additional reading, some books, some articles, things to watch, what have you. But I've really enjoyed my time here and getting to have this conversation with you and hopefully get to do it again.
Okay. Thanks, Andrea. Again, this has been awesome. And yeah, Level Up Week is coming up here in a few more weeks. I have already signed up for your next class, so I will see you there.
Okay.
But on behalf of the Contracting Experience podcast, to all of our listeners and subscribers, thank you so much for joining us today, sharing your insights into the generationally diverse world in which we live. It's been a pleasure having you.
Yes. Thank you.
And thank you to all of our podcast listeners, followers, and subscribers. If you have any feedback, suggestions for topics, or future guests you would like to hear on the podcast, you can submit those via email to thecontractingexperience@gmail.com. As a reminder, you can subscribe to the Contracting Experience podcast from any of your podcast listening platforms. Be sure to subscribe to receive updates and automatic downloads so you don't miss a single episode. I'm your host, Rob Lorton from the AFMC Contracting Digital Division, and I hope you can join us again on our upcoming episodes. Until then, stay tuned and stay connected.